WJBR Internet Radio for the inquisitive mind and the sophisticated ear.
Love.
Hate.
Men.
Women.
Community.
People.
Music.
Me. I know it's going to say I'm retarded at the end. Go ahead.
Church.
Ugh. Yuck. Ew. Go ahead.
Sex.
Memories.
Javon, you up.
All right. Lyrics.
Oh, work.
Musical.
Genius.
Billie Holiday.
My mama.
Money.
Tragedy.
Chaka Khan.
Girlfriend.
Personality.
Ugh. People don't have it.
But we try. Thank you so much.
Hello, this is Mickey Howard, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Mason, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Perfect.
Hey, this is Leon. That's right, Leon, from some of your favorite movies, and I'm at brunch in the basement with Therese and Javon. Stay here with me.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese on the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. Awesome. One day I'll tell you about me and Chaka Khan, but, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway. No, she doesn't. She just, she wasn't even there, actually. But anyway.
All our office, though, Jay.
I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh, God.
Okie dokie, babe, whatever you say.
With time, so,
and we thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, I'm just teasing.
Boom. Shakalaka, shakalaka, shakalaka.
Where you at?
I'm in the closet. I told you. I'm put out of the room, you know, put out of my room. You see the wardrobe, one of the racks behind me, I couldn't move things, so it is what it is. I'm in the closet.
You're in the closet.
Yeah, trapped in the closet.
There's something.
I hope someday they let you out.
Yeah, you know, it's like she did good by me at least. She set up a little station. That's her way of saying get out and stay here for a minute until I finish.
I love it.
Oh, man. Happy Saturday, Silky Smooth. What's happening?
Same to you. You know, yeah. I have been informed that there are people coming to look at my house. I don't know if I'm moving or not. I just know I have to clean it up. And they're coming Monday.
Coming to look at your house? Or maybe they're coming to do work.
I don't think so. I think they're coming to appraise it.
Oh, that's good to get every so often.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're...
It would just be nice to have more notice. As you know, today I had other things I wanted to do, but there are other ways I've been informed that I can show my love and respect for people. There's a movie that is coming out today that I have to go see shortly after this show, which gives me 2 hours maybe to organize this basement that I have not been able to organize in 2 years. But I have 2 hours to do that, and I can come back from the movies and continue if I have not completed my task. Yeah. Also, my bedroom, because, you know, I got my own space, which there's just the stuff that needs to be
I can relate to this, you know.
Yeah. And although, you know, I also have tomorrow. And, you know, on Sundays I watch my game. I watch football. That's it. We watch it. Yeah, but football doesn't start at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh. 7 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I got
stuff to do.
Yeah, I can relate to that, Silky. You know, I went out with my sister, and I came back, and I heard that there were dumpsters in the front, and things went down, and one of my sister wives came over and helped discard of a lot of things in the basement, you know, equipment and all kinds of things. I'm going to leave it there because I don't want it to be misunderstood. I was grateful for that. You know, there's always plans going around this camp, which is a good thing, I guess, you know, and most of the time it's not on my time. But that's fine. We have different schedules. I came home and I still can't fathom how they were able to do it. She clocked this to a T to keep me outside the house for a certain amount of time and just did it. So I get it. I get it. But you know what, Silky, you can do it. You can do it. And, you know.
You know, I know I have some buddies that will come over and assist me, but I can't function that way either. Cannot say, okay, y'all do, no, because you, it, no, that's too much. I got to do it myself. And what I have to do is just get everything out of eyes view. But there's a good thing to this. There's a good thing. There are some chairs and some luggage that have been sitting in this basement messing up my feng shui.
That's a good word.
Yeah. And so, well, yeah, I made most of the mess, but guess what? It's my mess and I'm comfortable in it. I'm just saying.
Not see, much. One man's mess is another man's something else.
You know what I'm saying? It's just my stuff. I don't consider all of this stuff to be mess. It definitely, I can see how it would look messy to other people, but I can tell you where and what every piece of paper is.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. And I know when someone has touched it. See, I grew up in a household with siblings. And, you know, anytime that I would find myself, you know, and I was like every, and this is going back to when I lived with my mother, right? Every square inch of my bedroom walls, like meaning the four walls and the ceilings, had pictures, posters. You know, I was heavily into photography, and I used to love blowing up black and white, you know, images that I would shoot. And I would have pictures and posters and things all over my walls. So when you walk in, look, you can't, you know, you have to know what it is. And I could walk you to show you whatever it is. I was always one for that. But leaving things neat when you have younger brothers and sisters, that don't work because they get in your stuff and they can find it. So I used to kind of rearrange things so it make it harder for someone to like come in and borrow jewelry or come in and borrow, you know. But, you know.
I know. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So, yeah. So that's what my weekend is looking like. And this week has been pretty hectic and haven't been feeling well and in one respect, but feeling better in another respect. You know, one thing is fixed, the other thing is breaking down. I'm like, ooh, this is what middle age looks like, huh? All right, on me, because it don't look the same on a yoga instructor that's a songbird that lives in my house. Okay, I'm just saying it does not look the same.
Yeah, I get it. I absolutely get it. You'll be proud to know I broke the proverbial cherry yesterday.
Anytime a cherry is broken and it is a good thing, I applaud it. Do it.
Well, you know, I've been saying that I'm going to get back in the gym, because girlfriend got to slim it all the way down, right?
I feel you.
So, you know, you get the membership and you still wait a few weeks before you actually go, because then, you know, something about the doing it, you know. But I made it yesterday.
I saw some pictures that really made me smile. I saw a picture of you in your little outfit with your basketball in your hand. You had your little cute little... I'm going to work out in this outfit. This is okay to sweat in clothes.
Yeah, that part.
That was cool, man.
Because I figure, you know, I would, you know, and you know, your body talks to you. Did you know that's okay?
Yeah.
Your body talks to you, yeah. And sometimes your body's not so nice.
No.
And I heard my body talking to me yesterday, loud. It was like in my ear. It was like, oh, wait. Hold on. what you doing? So, my partner was like, oh, for real? That's what we're doing? So I thought I was being nice to my body. So we went into a room. I was with my baby sis, Jazz. And we went into a room, and it was nice and moody at first, you know, dark in there. And they had mats on the floor. So we're in there stretching because I knew well enough that I better not touch anything unless I stretch.
Right.
So, we're twisting and turning and, you know, the stretches that I can remember that did my body good. And I'm saying to myself, oh, I'm rather tight. Real, you know, in some areas like that I was used to be able to go bow, bow, bow.
Right, right.
Height right now. So, you know, I stretched as much as I could, gave it a minute, arms and everything. And I said, you know, well, where are we going to start? What are we going to do, arms, legs? I said, well, you know what? Let me not play myself all the way out and do legs because, you know, I need those to walk out of here.
Yeah. So, he's like, I do want to make it back home.
So you know, we have these amazing ideas, and we throw ourselves in it. Like, we are totally committed when we're on, right? So we get to the gym. We walking in the basketball area after we decided we weren't going to do any machines. And we look, and there's this guy in there. He just seems to be wandering. It's completely empty. So then all of a sudden, his homeboys come up and they have this flat basketball. So here's our bright idea. You know, we're going to shoot some hoops. We both used to play. Now, neither one of us asked each other when's the last time we were on a basketball court, which is about good over a decade. I'll just leave it there. And the last time we were on, ironically, it was with each other. So that's, well, like over a decade. But we decide, you know what? We want our own ball. So we leave the gym. Now, we had just come in. So the people at the front desk are like, what's happening here? So we go back out. We going over to Modell's. That was just over Route 3. And we're going to get a basketball. We're going to get our own basketball, and we're going to do our own thing. So we get the ball. We come back. So now we got a little bop in our step.
Hey, holding a basketball do make you feel some kind of way, though.
Listen.
It does make you, it empowers you to have a basketball in your hand. I feel you. Go ahead.
Something about that, the stress. I tell you, basketball always helped me relieve stress, too, in the past, because it's the pounding of a ball and blah, 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 right? So it's easy to see how I did that in my feet. Can't do that in real life no more right now. Mm-hmm. Not right now.
But you will be able to.
You know, muscle memory, I'm praying that my muscles don't say, no, I didn't have a headband. Never worked out on one of those. I just wrapped my hair up.
That is funny.
And we sat in there and shot around. And, you know, first of all, it's amazing with your rotator cuffs and your arms and all of that extra stuff that you have not worked, and even running after the ball to bend and pick it up. I was like, word?
Yeah, there's that, right?
I was like, is this what's happening? Like, wow. I heard my legs saying, is she serious? They're talking to each other. My legs are talking to, is she serious right now? Yo, this chick is serious. Oh, wow. Pain could be my friend, Misty. Yeah. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. But it wasn't last night. So as we watched, you know, pickup games and whatever, and, you know, we did all that stuff. So I was just kind of like, wow. So I said, you know, and when you leave the gym already hurting, you know, when you lay your head on that pillow and get up to officially see what your muscles say to you. I turned over this morning. I was like, okay, no. Okay, wait. Sorry.
But can I say you look like a baller in the picture? I wish I had the picture, because you know to put that picture up right now would be priceless to cue.
No.
You look like, yo.
I look like I need to slim it down.
You look like T-Bird about to get smashed. Okay, you look like you about to. Yo, Leslie, who? What? Step up. step up. I got
negative.
You. That's what you look like.
This is all cells going on now. Cells and willpower. But I want to give a shout out. We stayed in there. We got a couple of hours in. We walked out. We did good. You know, we did good for the first one. So, you know, if we keep at it, which is what I'm planning to do, you know, because we have racquetball in there as well. And that's high speed, all arms. And, I think we'll start with the basketball. The first week is the hardest, yeah, but I think I'm going to have a couple of weeks that are going to be hard before I reach that okay, let's go plateau, you know. But the good thing about them, and I'm really trying to recall, but any time that I've actually set out with a fitness goal, it's always come easier. But a chick is older now, so I'm trying to see where I land there, you know, and keep my mental out of the.
You know, it's funny. I remember working out and being, you know, even with my little self playing basketball and thinking it's cool that, you know, like the taller ballers couldn't catch me because I'm so damn little, you know, and I'd be like in between, what? I'd be, and could shoot, you know, it was good. Huh? It was fun.
Nice.
And there were times, even I used to play softball, used to, believe it or not, be a skateboarder. I mean, and I used to practice karate. It was a lot of fun. All that stuff was good. And there were days that after, you know, practice or playing or whatever, I would be a little sore. But soreness then and soreness now. Not the same thing. So in as much as pain is your friend, because no pain, no gain, it's different now.
It's different. Now, you know, I used to have this, do you know, I forget the woman's name, but I'm going to get it. And what I'm going to really get is the picture. Remember the 78-year-old woman, salt and pepper hair?
Yeah, that
had
was working out. Oh, she was.
She was my, and now I still couldn't believe a lot of things, but I used to tape her picture, and this is decades ago, I used to tape her picture saying, yeah, that part. And, you know, when I see folks like, there's so many just fit and fine women that, you know, are inspiring.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you say skateboarder, though?
Yeah, I used to skateboard.
Yeah, so did I.
Therese, when you and I first met and we started talking, just a little of the get to know you thing. Yeah, the places that we hung out.
True.
We both went to NYU probably around about the same time.
True.
And we had a lot of things in common. And I remember I used to say to Cheryl, damn, me and Therese have so much in common. It's just crazy. We were always, you know, it's like we were at the same places at the same time, maybe just in different corners of the room.
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it doesn't surprise me, you know, if you skateboarded as well or you know, whatever, that we just have a lot in common.
I used to be doing the TikToks in Washington Square Park. I could make it through this.
All right.
Yeah, my skateboard got stolen, though.
I just, hey, Corey, I remember just everywhere I went, I was just on that damn skateboard, you know. I was just skateboarding all over the damn place.
It was so much fun, though.
Yeah, either skateboarding or riding my bike. And I would ride, like, from the Bronx to freaking Brooklyn just to ride because, you know, whatever.
Nice. On a skateboard?
No, on my bike.
Oh, on your bike.
Yeah, no, I would travel the Bronx and maybe Manhattan, go to Harlem with my skateboard. But
nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
With
nice.
My bike. I mean, and I think about that, those days. So it feels so long ago. And
I tell you, I'd probably get on one today, but I don't want to fall.
I can't get on one today because I can't fall.
If I fall, that's the end.
But you know what I would probably do today? I would probably ride with the wrist guards because really, like, my body could take a hit. I don't want to break a wrist. I don't want my hand, my wrist, I don't want to break.
I don't want to break nothing. Not a damn thing. Okay, I need it all to function. I don't need to try to make sure it heals. I'm too old for that. I'm too old for that. I didn't mind breaking shit when I was a kid, when I was younger. Break it. Got hit in the head with a bat. Got hit in the head.
Playing.
I'm from the Bronx. I got hit in the head with a bat. Okay. And probably hit a couple of people in the head with a bat too.
Ooh, okay.
And
all right,
chains and shit. I'm just saying it. That was the atmosphere. It's all love now. Hell. Hey,
I'm sorry.
Didn't you hit me in the head? Yeah. What? You still here? Yep.
I'm not so sure if I've ever used a bat or anybody ever used a bat on me. Would that be all up now? I'm sorry. There's some boundaries I don't think I'd be able to cross.
Yep.
Well, you know, we are in Libra season.
Yes. So when is your birthday? Tell everybody when your birthday is exactly.
My birthday is in October. And today we are giving shout out to a few of our faves. The first being the incomparable, the legendary soul singer, songwriter, Freddie Jackson. Freddie the Jackson, everybody. Today is his birthday. Shout out to Freddie.
Freddie the Jackson.
And we also have legendary gospel singer, songwriter, Miss Vanessa Bell Armstrong.
True that.
Shout out. And then last but certainly not least, one of my favorite Libras on the planet, my sister friend, my homegirl, who actually is married to an Aquarian.
Oh,
so,
that's interesting.
Yeah, so we would have many amazing conversations at dinner with Rocky. Shout out to Rocky Bivens and Mo, they're both Aquarians, and Latasha and I are both Libras, and singer, songwriter, actress, and author. Got to add that to the list, and we got to grab her on the show because she has an amazing cookbook, Latasha Scott of the group Escape. Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Chica Chica.
Happy birthday, queens and kings.
Yes.
Up.
Oh, and one last. Now, this guy is amazing. And a couple of years ago, we went to see Cy Smith perform because she has a standing residency at the Blue Note. And if you've ever seen Cy live, she's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
This particular night, we rolled through there to see her on that New Year's stretch. And Sting was in the audience, and he got up and sang Set Him Free. So shout out to Sting, another Libra. It is his birthday today. He's amazing. Always been a Sting fan.
Happy birthday, Sting.
And he looked like he just was dipped in the fountain of youth. I was like, say words, Sting. You are looking amazing. And he was there with Trudy, and he sang a song and then had to get on the plane to get out. But he said, you know, he came and blessed the show.
That's what's up. I love that. I have a quick question.
What's up?
For Misty J. You asked the question, what did you cook, I think. Who are you directing that question to? It just looks random. So if you can answer that, what not P-Boogie?
P-Boogie.
Another Libran.
Yes, another one of my favorite Librans, P-Boogie in the building.
Good morning, baby. It's good to see you back in the chat. And also, Alisa, what at a car wash? What happened at a car wash? I am unsure of what your questions are, and you know I want to make sure that we are addressing your concerns. And for those of you watching on Facebook, Eartha, my little cousin, who was on the show with the Writers Guild, and LJ Johnson, y'all are watching from my personal Facebook page. Please flip on over to YouTube, WJBR, Internet Radio.
Yeah.
That's Internet Radio for the sophisticated ear and the inquisitive mind.
Jeez, jeez.
Ronnie! Hi, Ronnie!
Ronnie.
You know what? Ron is actually, I know you're in Charlotte. How you doing, right? Having a good time, I'm sure. But Ron is the only one that I could have come to my house and help me with my chore. To organize. Ron would knock me out the way and organize the shit and tell me where he put it. And that's it. Like, just stop. Because he's a Virgo.
Oh yeah, Virgos.
He don't play. He look. What are you doing with? What is all of this? Pick it up. Throw that shit somewhere. I don't know what he would do because I don't have that brain. But Ron is no nonsense. When he puts his mind to something, he gets it done. We doing it. It's done, and it's done well. So.
I said Virgo.
Yes.
Cousin Corey. We ain't violent, Cousin Corey.
Banging the head. New York, getting your car washed, you got hit in the head. I'm sorry.
Oh, no bueno.
Yeah, that is not cool.
Mm-mm. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Today at noon, abortion rights activists will march across U.S. to protest restrictive laws, women's rights activists. For those abortion laws around the United States, and including a Texas law that bans abortion. First of all, y'all already know Texas is losing their everlasting mind. That anybody who adopts that is crazy. But there's something else. There's a bigger picture, good people, and it starts with this bullshit on deck to see if we're paying attention. And they're sliding stuff through. And, you know, I don't think, now we got some men on the line here, okay? And I'm trying to figure out, like, and clearly no woman put this law into effect, although you do have women that support these men in doing their goods. I'm going to need white women to get a hold of their white men real fast. I'm really going to need white women to reel them in. You know, because Billy Bobby in the grocery store has grown up to be somebody that's crazy as hell. You know who Billy Bobby is, the little boy that's screaming in the aisle, the one you want to snatch, and the mother's acting as if, and he's telling the mother what to do. Well, he's grown up, and he's now in office.
Okay, so let's peel this onion.
Ugh. This is a call to all men. It's bad enough, and this is going to be a really silly comment from a gay girl perspective. It's bad enough you are allowed below our crotch, period, when some of you, not all of you, it's bad enough that some of you are in our underwear, period. But that's as far as it goes, the biology part. The rest, leave that up to us. We are more than qualified to navigate the woes of our body. Now, there's already a psychological and mental thing that happens when one makes those decisions to, and there can be an array of reasons. Doesn't always have to be because she just wanted to, you know. Sometimes it could be, well, I'm not even going to go into, just know it's just not an arbitrary choice. And then outside of it being in your mental, it's also in your emotional. And the last freaking thing we need is for somebody who does not have to bear their burden of carrying the child to term and bear the need of having the baby, because that's trauma on the body, whether it's natural birth or otherwise. It is trauma on the body. The last thing we need is to hear the opinion of some of you men.
And then also in most states, because the trauma doesn't stop there. Once the baby is born, if the mother walks out and says, okay, y'all wouldn't let me have an abortion, I carried this baby, here you go, and walks out, then in some states, that abandonment could lead to incarceration. Or you, out of fear, take it home and say, I still don't want it, and do God-awful things. I mean God-awful things. Or say, okay, I don't believe in abortion, but I don't want to have this baby, or I'm not mentally ready, I'm not financially ready, and I can't feed this child. But, you know, I mean, there's just so many things. Or being raped and the baby coming out looking like the rapist. Unfortunate.
You know,
not the baby's fault, but some women can't handle that, even if they loved the guy and the baby looks like the guy. I mean, you know, whatever.
It's less about for me, the abortion politics. It's interrupting, again, women's right to choose and navigate their own bodies,
yeah.
Period.
No, there's that too. But if the argument, because their argument, which is bull, okay, it's just, let me just say that this is all about white men and their power, wanting to exert their power. As far as I'm concerned, wanting to exert their power and wanting more white babies on this earth. Those two things to me. And I think it's just, and again.
What are they essentially saying? Hold on. Let's drill down on that. If you think that, then is that saying that more white women have abortions?
I think that too many, well, no, let me not say too many. I don't think, in my opinion, not too many. Because it's not my business who's having abortions. I think that white men think that if they can stop white women from having abortions, they could repopulate the nation with white children.
Yes, I get that.
Are
white women having more abortions?
I don't know if they're having more abortions, but they're having abortions. I don't think it's a matter of more or less. They just want more white children.
Because they don't have enough now? Is that
exactly.
What
because.
Of abortion?
Because brown and black bodies are more, they're more of us than there are of them right now in the country. So is it because of abortion? I personally don't know, but I believe that they're thinking that if they can stop abortion, they can have more white babies. They know that white women have abortions. So for each abortion, that's one less white child. Although what they don't realize is that that might be another brown child coming after a white body. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. But
you know, I agree with Sage on this, you know, and if you don't like abortions, then pass a law on mandatory vasectomies until they're ready to become good fathers. Bing, bing, bing. That's the goal right there.
Yes.
You know, start regulating your penises.
And that is the issue. The negative birth rate among Caucasians, because white women want to work. They don't want to be mothers yet. They want to do their thing. You know,
what's wrong with that, though? I mean, if they want to work and do the thing, that means they're not pregnant. They don't want to have babies.
It doesn't mean they're not pregnant. It just means that they're having abortions. Ronnie is saying it is mostly white women getting abortions, so the white men don't want the white babies being aborted.
So isn't that between you? Here's the thing, though. If you are, I don't know, married or not, and anybody white on the chat, please let us know, you know, weigh in on this. But, I mean, if the situation is that, you know, it's still deciding not to have your baby, are you mad, Twan, because she doesn't want to have your baby?
Twan
is just, you know, don't be mad, Twan. You know,
yeah,
but this
is more like Eric. You know what I mean? This is more like Sebastian or Tom. You know what I mean? Jeff.
Are you mad, Bradley?
Yes.
Because they don't want to have
you. Give me Bradley, because this is what that is. This is, and if they could say, without sounding completely racist or whatever, if they could make the law that white women can no longer have abortions, and we don't care, black women kill all your babies. That's the way they think. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it sounds right. It sounds disgusting, even as it left my lips. But they don't care about black people having abortions. They don't care about that. They don't care. But they want these white babies born. They probably wish that more black people would have abortions. So that they could again be the minority in the country. When you think about it, it is a minority of people. White men are not even half of the white population. There are more white women than there are white men in this country. The smallest group of people in this country are white men, and they are running the whole show. And they understand that if they don't mess with our elections, abortion, all of these things that they're going crazy trying to do right now, pay attention.
Just skirts are up.
Pay attention. They are in panic because they don't want to lose the grip. You understand what I'm saying?
We are losing the grip. They know that. This is desperate.
But this is why we have to continue, even though, okay, the choices are not great. The choices really suck. Until we can get the candidate that we think is going to finally do the things that we need them to do. You understand what I'm saying? We need someone who really gets what it is that we want done in this country. But in the meanwhile, until that person or those people come up, then we have to make sure, though, that these people that are trying to take away the vote, that are trying to change abortion, that they lose their power by any means necessary. That's what I'm thinking, by any means necessary. These people going hard for it. Now, not to say that other people that we might have put in office may not secretly or backdoor be behind some of this stuff, but when
Who we put in office is trash.
But not as much trash as who was in office. And how we got to where we are is because of who we had in office and what was going on. If people mess around, I'm so dead serious about this, and unfortunately for me, my brain just doesn't recall shit until later, you know, and then later I don't even want to talk about it no more. But
this is all smoke and mirrors, Jay.
I get that.
Trump didn't start racism in this country.
I understand that.
Racism is the oldest pandemic we have in the books. Make a shot for that.
Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that Trump started racism.
Okay.
His damn father was a KKK member and was arrested for being in the KKK.
Okay.
When you are voting for the same person that the KKK endorses, you need to stop and think about, is this the choice? You know? And not saying that the other choices are good. They're just better.
The only thing I want to say that Trump did differently than any other president, if you think Bush wasn't just as racist, if you think
Bush,
Reagan was
Bush
just not as racist,
I'd rather
have the devil I know say, hey, it's me, than the ones that are back door doing the stuff. I'm not saying that, you know, Donald gets no awards as far as I'm concerned. I think he was not only racist, he was an idiot, period. That's an established fact. But we've had so many others in that space that were the same exact way. Bush publicly said he did not know there were black people in Brazil. Thank God for Condoleezza Rice in that moment, because he was like, oh, yeah.
Look, I just can't.
Come on.
All right. Nobody's saying, look, this country was founded on racism, built up on race. We know this, and it hasn't stopped. It has not stopped. However, if we lose the vote, if people have to understand that if these fools in Texas are not stopped, this Supreme Court is not stopped. This Supreme Court has a lot more power than people realize. Gore actually won his election. There was never a President Gore. Who put him in office? It was the Supreme Court that decided that vote, that election.
I think that what will happen is that we are going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it doesn't matter what law you put on the books, the people are not going to go for it. It's almost like saying, you know, and it's going to be as simple as that, because we're so trained in our minds that we got to follow this and follow that. If enough people decided enough was enough, we'd be just like France, just like some of those other countries that said, you know what, get the out of here. Police coming down to enforce certain things, and they get a mob of angry people. And I'm talking about, like, I'm not talking about, they couldn't manage Watts. They couldn't manage L.A. in their race. They couldn't manage Chicago. They couldn't. If enough people in all states started ripping and running, and I mean every state has its issue, right? Because we're all supposed to be allegedly united, right? And this, what you're doing is you're interrupting people's lives in every state. If every state rioted at the same time, because a lot of folks don't care about people, they care about things. And I'm not saying loot. I'm saying if 52 joints reacted at the same time, oh, yes, there would be change. Oh, yes. And right now, enough is enough. The people, the job that you're responsible to do for the people, you will do. You will do. These laws, why? Because I made it up. And I said, so this whole thing is smoke and mirrors. This is the law. According to who? It's not for or by the people. Clearly, the people are protesting this law. Go back in there, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's what we pay you to do. Go back in there and work something out that's for the people. And quit this bullshit. It's real fundamental, but we get locked into thinking that law is life, and it is not. Now, no one needs a country with lawlessness. Hear me clearly. But at the end of the day, if all of the people push back, possible. We're just trained over here and somewhat spoiled over here. But we got the net, you know, the United States leads in nothing but incarceration rates. And at the end of the day, that's it. Science, math, everything else, out the window. We got some of the dumbest folks sitting right here on American soil. And at the end of the day, we need to make a difference. And until we do that, we're going to keep rolling with this and suffering from anxiety, watching the news and any other thing that we go on with. And yes, Pop, I hear you. Absolutely. Some white people find it frightening to envision a nation without white people calling the shots. And the bad things tend to happen when white people, particularly white men, get scared. And that is a word for your ass right there.
Okay. So let me just address what Misty J said.
Okay.
So on December 8th, the Florida Supreme Court had ordered a statewide recount of all undervotes because they were messing with there were butterfly whatever they call those things, however they were voting at the time. So the Gore campaign asked for a recount, a manual recount. The Bush campaign immediately asked the United States Supreme Court to stay the decision of the Florida Supreme Court and halt the recount. There were five conservative judges on the Supreme Court at the time, and they allowed that stay. So those votes were never recounted.
He didn't appeal it, though.
Well, because that's just the way they do it, and there was nothing he could do.
He could have appealed that. He didn't.
Oral arguments was scheduled for December 11th. And if he, I don't want to take the time to read this whole thing. It's just too much.
He didn't appeal that. He could have. He didn't. He left that right where it was.
Okay, so. Whereas a statewide recount would have revealed a Gore victory, Florida later changed to new voting, blah, 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 blah. I think he conceded. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it was the Supreme Court that made the decision. That's my point.
The Supreme Court, you can appeal the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ain't nobody's daddy.
I understand that, but I'm saying... Oh,
fuck on there that, you know...
Hear what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that... The Supreme Court made a decision. You can appeal the decision, but if you don't appeal the decision, then the Supreme Court's decision is the one that stays. Right?
That's with anything though. That's with if you don't rationalize with your mother, it'll stay. You know, that's with anything. We in our heads, we give this system too much credit. It is flawed. It has always been flawed, and it's not for the people.
No, you're absolutely right.
It's not. It's just not.
But the thing is, if you appeal a Supreme Court decision, there's no higher court in the land to appeal it to, but the Supreme Court. So once a Supreme Court makes a decision and you argue it, the Supreme Court is saying, well, we made our decision. There's no appeal to the Supreme Court because you can't go higher.
You can appeal to the same court that you're in, though, Jay.
Right. These conservatives were going to change their mind.
It's supposed to be rooted in law. So if you're going to appeal, you're going to have to do a lot of work to come in there to give them reason that they have to examine. Now, if they're doing it according to law and not ego, which is a whole different situation.
But this is the problem with the Supreme Court. This is what I'm saying. This whole thing with Texas, the law is unconstitutional. The Supreme Court does what it wants to do. They know that... You and I are not lawyers. But we know that what Texas is doing is unconstitutional.
But wasn't no pushback on it? Who in Texas pushed back on it to the degree where they could have had something done?
But people,
it didn't just pop up overnight, though.
But people have already petitioned to the Supreme Court to overturn this decision even before it went into law. And the Supreme Court decided they didn't even want to look at it. And they did that intentionally because they wanted the law to stand. The Supreme Court does what the Supreme Court wants to do. And they're right now arguing the Supreme. Usually it's odd. It's rare to find Supreme Court justices coming on news and so forth and so on to say that they're not partisan and all this other stuff. And right now, because they know they made a funky decision, which was not to look at this Texas law and not to stop it, which if there were right people on the Supreme Court, this never would have happened in Texas. This never would have happened.
Anybody that needs an abortion in Texas, just come outside of Texas, and it ain't hard to do. Just you know,
well,
plan
some,
your day and come
people,
on outside of Texas.
For some people, it is difficult, and a lot of people are going outside of Texas, and the neighboring states are now overwhelmed with the number of people coming to them for abortions from Texas, to the point that people that are in their own states are not able to get the abortions because the people from Texas have made all of these appointments.
That's fine.
And then there are who are not able to make it to the next state or
somebody,
people who are economically
together underground railroad or something.
It's crazy. It's not that simple for everybody. The law,
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying
migrating
to the north.
The law needs to be changed, and the Supreme Court is the only court that can do it.
And
they turned their back.
And until then,
and now Mississippi is trying to overturn Roe completely. Mississippi, this thing that they did in Texas was dipping their foot in the pool of injustice to see if injustice would stand with this Supreme Court, and it has. So now those neighboring states, those red states like Mississippi, Alabama, those states are now gearing up their anti-abortion ruling so that eventually they want to overturn. See, my thing is, just as everybody else, I think right now, is disappointed in the current administration, I'm disappointed too. Put your foot down. Stop being a goddamn wimp. If you believe in something, stand up for it, because it looks like you're falling for the okey-doke and you're allowing this nonsense to occur. Either put up or shut up.
Man, they're trash.
Either put up or shut up. And that's the bottom line. I mean, until somebody who's going to actually do something becomes the president, or you know, the good thing is that there are people like Cory Booker, Maxine Waters. There are people who are at least voicing Alexandria Cortez, you know, Bernie, people who are saying the right thing, who are trying to do something. But it's going to take a lot until the president writes an executive order to change some of the things that he can change. There's some things that he can't change. I get that. I get it. But the other thing is that but she's not the president, and she does not have the power to write an executive order.
No, I'm not suggesting that, but, you know, where is she? Anybody seen her? Anybody heard from Ms. Harris?
I don't watch anything, so I don't know. So there's that. And if you say she's trash, then that's your opinion. I don't have that. I don't share that opinion about her.
I stand alone.
No, you don't stand alone. There's a lot of people that don't
no,
like
I'm,
you.
No, I'm just talking about
yeah,
in this moment.
Yeah, and that's fine. For me, the man who ended up with the seal that has access to the button, that has access to the pin, that can actually do something, that's the person, to me, that needs to do something.
He can't even access that pin without permission. He just can't come in there and say, you know what,
yep.
enough is enough.
Yes, he can.
No, he can't.
Why can't he?
He cannot pull that pin. He cannot.
Why can't he?
Because like everything else, that's not an autonomous power.
There are some things that he can do. There are
like,
some things that he can't. Like
he can do an executive order, but by way of he can do the same thing that Barack Obama did, which is execute executive orders. But anything else that comes about that office, Lady Eloise has to go through a whole process.
You said Lady Eloise.
That's what it is. Our president is Lady Eloise.
Oh Lord.
That's it. He may as well sit in the car or get a car similar to the Queen and wave his hand and stop messing in people's stuff because he's looking crazy right now and he's talking to people crazy and it's not okay. It just really isn't. And I know one thing. I know what you ran and said that you were going to do for the American people, both you and Harris. It ain't showing up.
So this is interesting too. HBCUs. Haven't heard from them.
When have you ever heard from them, though?
Well, I have heard from them while Trump was in office. I did hear from them. They made some noise during his people on both sides talk and some other shenanigans he was doing. But I like that hashtag Lady Eloise.
They're still waiting on Biden to vacate some of these student loans. Anybody got a student loan vacated yet? Because he said he was going to do it. Anybody on this chat that is a student loan, is it clear? Do you have the zilch near you? Is there a number there?
Look at that. You know what? Time for a music break.
What we truly need is equality.
I want to. I like to introduce myself. My name is Abyss Markie, and well, I'm the human orchestra called Abyss Markie. Making music all the way is my specialty. When I go, I want to. Girls get excited when they hear my lyrics. They wanna recite. I'm out of y'all in the mood. Just know what the fuck, and I can play rapping records and all disco, like Beat It, Billy Jean, by Michael Jackson, or the Treasure Tree Ranking. They gon' ask you when you hear me do it. You will be shocked and amazed. It's the brand new thing they call the human beatbox craze. Well, I don't just do the beatbox. I rock on the mic and all the bombs that I say. All the people like I get the crowd jumping, get the girls heart pumping. All the party people say isn't he jumping? City all the way down south, playing around to making music, book my mouth. I'ma tell your party people how I began. It started when I'm living in Long Island. Hey, when I was a kid, I used to play in the street, making sounds with my mouth all sorts of beats. Grown people, you to say.
Yeah. see no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about our needs, bro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a heat, bro. Get it back to the kids through the hell, kids. One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First, ship them, don't let them deal a brother. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey said. I got love for my brother, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can it never take a brother if it's close to me? I let it go back to what we played as kids and say, hey,
that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh, yeah.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Misplaced hate making this place a racist. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place, let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we kill is when we kill each other. If they kill, so we real time to heal each other. And as though it seems ever since, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret of the seal, the fact of penitence we sat in this field with black. Some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's the mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today,
but you made it in a sleazy way. Sell a crack to the kid.
I gotta get paid, but that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
You gotta make a change. It's time for us as a people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes, can't a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. And a war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime I ain't have to do, but now back with the back, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and put back you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But telecoms can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's down number two. You say it ain't cool, but mama didn't raise no fool. And as long as I stay black, I gotta stay strapped. And I never get delayed back, cause I always gotta worry about the payback. Some luck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Right, that.
That's the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Come on, you're my
brother, you're my
sister.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Never change.
Some things will never change. Tupac passed away what year?
96, I want to say. Hold on, I gotta check.
And things are not much different. Things are not much different.
Yes. And they're sweet tea and fried chicken.
How about we maybe have a Black History moment? It's interestingly enough, it's goes in with the Supreme Court discussion. Check it out.
Thurgood Marshall.
There you go. So I actually found something quite interesting that I would like to share with everyone. It takes a few minutes if everybody has the patience. And y'all let me know if you want to hear it or not. But first thing I'll just say that it was on October 2nd in 1967 that Thurgood Marshall became a Supreme Court Justice. It was 102 years after the end of slavery in this country. And that's the day that he was sworn in. He was nominated to the Supreme Court by President Lyndon B. Johnson on June 13, 1967. And on August 30th, he was confirmed by a Senate vote of 69-11 to become the first African-American Supreme Court Associate Justice. He served as an Associate Justice for 24 years from October 2nd of 1967 until October 1st of 1991. Marshall died at age 84 in Maryland on January 24th, 1993. So what I actually have that I could share, and you let me know if this is even interesting to you all. Tupac passed in 96. That to me is very interesting. You let me know if you're interested in this, and that I'll play it. If not, then we don't have to. But I actually have a recording of Lyndon B. Johnson speaking to Thurgood Marshall and asking him if he would take a position. So if that's not something that didn't hearing, then we could skip that.
Take the position of the Supreme Court?
I think at first it was another position, but actually asking him to take a high position as a justice. And I guess I could kind of just tell you that, you know, what he says. And if you remember the time, it was like right after Kennedy's assassination.
Mm-hmm.
And basically he tells them, look, you know, this would be a good look for the nation. This would be a good look. You would lose certain freedoms, but you would be there. This would be beneficial to the country if you would take this position. At one point, you could hear Justice Marshall saying, "Can I have a day or two to think about this?" But then, as it goes on, you can hear him, Lyndon B. Johnson, actually convince him that, you know, this is important and that he wanted to be the president to have the greatest lawyer who was available and who was a Negro. So if that's not something that y'all want to hear, that's fine.
Is this something, is that so play that.
You sure?
Yeah, play it. Because again, you know, I've never heard it. I'd like to understand it and hear it, particularly if it's, was it a public conversation or was it, okay.
It was private.
So, but it was recorded conversation.
Right. Okay. So all of the, from my understanding, all of the conversations made from the White House are recorded, but they're not released for at least 50 years or something like that. They're not supposed to be. What would I don't know. There's executive privilege and all this other stuff, and it's usually a couple of years after either that president or the other person dies. a certain amount of years that they can, you know.
So, okay. I definitely want to hear it.
Okay.
And you know, I remember the start of, you said something very poignant in this, that it was after Kennedy's assassination and the country was in perils, right? And, you know, we need to quiet the Negroes could have been it. And, you know, and yeah, we need another Lady Eloise. And I'm not saying that Thurgood Marshall was that. What I'm saying is that, you know, when they start scrambling, they'll throw anything up in your face, you know, but we no more had freedom then than we have it now. So, yeah, I want to hear it because I need to hear Tony. I need to hear everything.
And the other thing is that sometimes, how you doing, Wendy? Sometimes the time dictates the change. And whether that's what you want to do or not want to do, if you're smart, you know you have to do something. Problem is that you went from Thurgood Marshall to Clarence Thomas. You know, from Ruth Bader Ginsburg to this chick that's sitting there now. You know, like, what? What? You know?
I knew, that was such a sad day when Ruth passed away. And, you know, we knew it was coming. But at the end of the day, it was like, what? You know, because she was the toughest person that's come out of the Supreme Court.
If she could have hung on for a couple of more months, just a couple of more months, you know? But, I mean, they did some flimf. I don't want to get into it. Anyway, let me
play it, kick it.
Yeah, let me play it. Let me get it up.
Repeat it, clown.
What am I doing wrong? Come on. Ah, there it is. Here we go. All right, y'all, here it is. You have to listen closely.
Judge Thurgood Marshall in New York on 90.
Okay. Take this, will you?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yes, sir. Judge, how are you? I have a rather big problem that I want to talk to you about. Right? I want you to give it some real thought because it's something that I have thought about for weeks, and I think it, we can't think of how it affects us personally. We've got to think about the world and our country, our government, and then ourselves are way down at the bottom of the list. I want you to be my Solicitor General.
Wow.
Now, you lose a lot. You lose security, and you lose the freedom that you like, and you lose the philosophizing that you do. And I'm familiar with all those things. He won't lose any. And I want you to do it for two or three reasons. One, I want the top lawyer in the United States represent me before the Supreme Court. Be a Negro, and I'd be a damn good lawyer that's done it before. That's so you have those peculiar qualifications. Number two, I think it will do a lot for our image abroad and at home too. That this is the man that the whole government has to look to decide whether it prosecutes a case or whether it goes up with a case or whether it doesn't, and so on and so forth. Number three, I want you to have the experience and be in the picture. I'm not discussing anything else. I don't want to make any other commitment. I don't want to imply or bribe or mislead you. But I want you to have the training and experience of being there day after day for the next few weeks anyway, maybe the next few months if you could do it. Now, I've talked to Ramsey Clark, whose father is on the Supreme Court, and both of them have a high regard for you. I've talked to the Attorney General, Nick Katzenbach. I've talked to you. Now, I haven't talked to anybody else. I don't want to talk to anybody else. Nobody will ever know I talked to you. If you decide that you can do it, I think you ought to do it for the people of the world. I just think it will be, you've got a great job, you've got lots of security, but I don't think you'll lose any of this. And after you do it a while, if there's not something better, which I would hope there would be, that you would be more amenable to, there'll be security for you, because I'm going to be here for quite a while. But I want to do this job that Lincoln started, and I want to do it the right way. Yes, you can have all the time you want. You think it over, and you evaluate it. And this is a non-political job. It just determines what goes before that court, and then you present it, at least all you want to, and then have other people. Archie Cox will be going back to Harvard. He could stay. I could ask him to stay. But I want this man to, I think you can see what I'm looking at, and I want to be the first president that really goes all the way. But I don't want anybody to be able to clip me from behind. I want to do it on merit. I want to do it without regard to politics. I don't do it without any regard to votes, because I don't want any votes. I'm not looking for votes. I've had the votes. I had all the votes when I needed them. I had 15 million, and all I want to do is serve my term and do it well. But I also want to do something else. I want to leave my mark, and I want to see that the justice is done. And you can be a symbol there that you can't ever be where you are. Well, it's got to be. It's got to be in you. Any day or two you come down, why, you just get on the plane and come down here and let my people know. Just call Jack Valenti here at the White House, and we'll make the appropriate arrangements.
All right, Jack. Good. Only time I'm stuck on the
Well, I expect to be better Monday or Tuesday. I'm going to be home on Friday. I'm going home Friday afternoon. I'll be here this Wednesday. I'll be here Thursday and Friday, but I'll leave after lunch. Then I'll be there until probably Monday afternoon. I'll be back here Tuesday. What about Tuesday? We'll just you just forget this, and let me talk to you about it in detail, and we'll work it out. And you don't know, I've thought about it for weeks, and well, you can, because you live such a life, and they've gone over you with a fine tooth comb, and they could never. They could never use anything about you to thwart us, and we're on our way now.
Wonderful.
And we're going to move.
Right. Well,
all right. That'll be fine. Do you have any idea what time you'd like to meet?
Anytime.
What, about 11 o'clock in the morning? Thank you.
I can't hear you.
Well, we all know that politics is done on golf courses, right?
Yeah.
But I'd just like to talk about some things that he said without saying them, right?
Mm-mm.
So this wasn't about Thurgood Marshall or his skills, and he had some, you know, or his power as a litigator, and he had some, we know that, or his power to reason, you know, and interpret law, he had them too. He started off this conversation.
I saw you taking notes. I'm here to
teach.
Yes. You go.
Yes. He started off the conversation revealing his true intention. He started off the conversation by saying, I have a big problem. And that's much different than saying, Javon, I thought of you as a candidate for this because of blah, 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 blah. He started off by saying the conversation that reveals his true intention. I, the president, the sitting president, has a big problem. Okay. And he went on to say that doesn't matter about personal, I'm paraphrasing, doesn't matter about
how you personally feel about it, which reveals sacrifice. So he's asking him to sacrifice what he may personally feel about it to help him with his problem. Okay? And he went on to say this appointment, I don't know what you're going to call it, is going to help the world and the country, right? And don't think about it personally, because honestly, if you thought about personally what he would have been trying to achieve back then, you knew what it was. The country was unrest, and he went on with saying a whole lot of other psychobabble, but he started off by saying he has a problem, and he needed somebody.
Not only that, Rez, back then, back then, as a black man in that position, your life is in danger. They're coming for you.
Of course it was. But he had 3 points he needed to make. One, he wanted a top lawyer to be in the seat, okay? Fluff, okay? Two, it was for the image for United States abroad and home, okay? And three, he wanted him to have the experience to be in the picture. However, was quick to say after that, because, you know, the brain is not going to let too much fluff go by without revealing itself again, and he says no other commitments will be made.
But wait, did you catch what he said? And you won't be able to do that philosophizing that you do.
Yes,
because
he knows
that
I know all that
because,
you do.
Right, because Thurgood Marshall was quick to stand up on the soapbox and stand up on the corner and talk, or go into a courtroom and talk about the plight of the American Negro.
Yes.
You know what I'm
absolutely
saying? And he's
absolutely
like, okay, no more of that philosophizing. You can't do that no more.
No, you can't do that now. You hear? You need to be a good old boy and get in there. And I just want to be the first, because he wants to be the symbol and do something, you know, what's right for the American people. No, you
because,
don't crack,
because
crack a barrel.
Because he had a problem. Like
of
you
course
said,
he
from,
had a problem.
From the,
and he needed,
from the
and he needed a token Negro to sit in the space to have his back. Now, not because he wanted, he couldn't do anything he was supposed to do, but trust and believe he was going to be Geppetto for that entire picture. And he needed someone to have his back. No, you need someone you can play chess with and that you can control, so that you can have your, you know, you don't need no votes, as you said. You don't need, this ain't politics, as you said. So what is it then, Lyndon? What is it? This is just Cracker doing what Cracker do. Real talk. And it started off, his intentions were revealed from the gate. I got a problem. And you need to fix the problem being a good old boy and sit there, because can't nobody do. Now, mind you, he went to Clark. He went to the Attorney General. Basically, probably digging in his backstory a little more so that he can say, okay, he's a clean one. We'll use him because they can't get nothing on him and they can't flip him around. And with him being there, it's going to make other people think. See, you're so busy trying to influence what other people think as opposed to doing what's good for the people. Remember, like, yeah, you know, Kennedy, you remember the soil, the climate, right around that time, and it was probably folks gone wild.
Oh, absolutely.
So
but they
you
had
couldn't
to, they had to have someone that was beyond reproach. But I'll say this also, that I almost worked for the FBI. I took, when I went out for the job that I have now, took a test for the job I have now, took a job to work at the FBI. When I say that they did the most thorough investigation of me and even the most thorough full exam I ever had in my life. I mean, I found out that I was partially colorblind to orange because of that physical. So, yes, they do go over you like a fine tooth comb. They went to my grandmother's house to talk to my grandmother about me.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Can you imagine? They sent two FBI agents to my job that I was at then. And I'm saying, okay, it was Jane and Joe America. They were two very tall, blonde, blue-eyed Caucasian people, They were, the woman had to be about 6 feet and the man was about 6'3". They looked like Flowers in the Attic. You ever seen that or heard of that, read that book? Grown up. The twins, okay? I mean, it was crazy. And they came to talk to my boss and they didn't care that I was there.
Man.
So if, and I think the specific job that I applied for would have had me working in the Department of Immigration to start dealing with that sort of thing, but I opted to do what I do. I'm just saying that to say that when he said, yeah, we went over you with a thought, I can only imagine if I was going to just be working to secure the border in some kind of fashion, what they must have done to dig in this man's background.
As if their own shitty backgrounds don't exist.
You know what I'm saying?
You dig where you feel like you want
to. Thank you. That's it right there. That's it right there. And I'm glad that you said that, because unless there's other comments about that video, I wanted to just... I'm not going to do it, but I wish somebody would do it. Write a petition to so that we can better enforce. We need to start having more laws around who can become the president. And to me, there needs to be a qualifying exam. And this exam, you have to pass a constitutional law exam. You have to. You can't swear to defend a document that you have not read. I think that
you're a firm believer in this Constitution.
It's not. Well, you know what? Whether I don't think that the Constitution has all good shit in it. That's for sure. We don't have any rights, to be honest. But I'm not a firm believer in any one thing, to be honest. There's not I would live and die by this particular document.
So why is the Constitution
the thing that the president is swearing to uphold. And if you don't at minimum know that, know the laws of the land. Know the law. Know the states. Which states? What is the United States relationship to Puerto Rico? If you want to be the president, you should at least know that.
You should at least know there are black people in Brazil.
Thank you. I mean, in addition to knowing your own constitution, hello, that should be the bare minimum of what you know. I mean, the bare minimum. What's the difference between the executive, judicial, and the governing branch? You know, like, come on. I think the president should know what the hell they're doing.
You don't need a college degree to be a judge. I didn't know that. That's some new stuff. That's new. I never knew that. Is that true?
That I do not know. I thought you had to be an attorney. And to be an attorney, you need a degree. So I don't know.
I
don't know about that.
Edify that. I mean, support that statement, Mr. J. Like, where did you hear that? Because that wasn't my understanding.
It could be
appellate. Appellate.
Not appellate. I think a referee, maybe. She said it's absolutely true. That's what she stand on. That's it.
You can hear Marshall's wife at the dinner table, like all the wives in fear for the man during it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah, that when I ran across that, I thought that I wanted to share that. I just think that even if you're governing a city, you should be able, if you're going to be the mayor, you should be able to pass a test about your city. You know, if you're not good at reading and writing, that's fine. Do an oral test. and you have to pass the test. I mean, there are people who are sitting in positions, and I think, you know, if you're governing, if you're in charge of a thing, you should know something about what – you should know what the rules are. And if you want to change the rules, you should know how to go about that legally and in the best interest of the people that you serve. You should also understand that you're servant. You're a servant. These politicians think that they're kings and queens and princes and prince. You know, like, we don't serve you. You serve us. We the people. You know, so that's...
Provided you're known to be a person.
Exactly.
Not chattel.
Exactly. Exactly. So I just think that, you know, there's a couple of things that I would like to see. I would like to see better candidates for office, because I find myself in a constant state of just trying to get somebody who doesn't want to see me back in chains, or at least they're not running on that, or at least they don't have a history of that kind of crap. Anyway, I just feel like you should at least know what you're doing and know why you can't do certain things. And if you dump oil in this body of water, what will it do to the people? Do we need to dumb it down? Okay.
Wow. Misty is really going to make me work after the show. I see this. I really, damn you, Misty J.
keep it going, Misty J, because we need our minds challenged.
That's what it's all about. This is new, and see what I learned today, and I wanna I'm gonna drill down on this, and I, damn you, Miss EJ.
I love it. You know what else I love? I love rapid fire. And I have a new one.
Work as a lawyer for at least 2 years before you can even be considered for running for judge positions. Yeah. At the very minimum, it will take 9 years to become a judge. You will
have to spend at least 7 years in school and work as a lawyer for at least 2 years before you can even begin to consider running for judge positions. Okay. Therese?
What if they vote? If they say they
vote for attorneys, good litigants. I've not ever studied to become a lawyer or looked deeper into that, but I think what Pop is saying is my understanding, that you do get elected to judgeships or appointed to judgeships, but I think you have to have a law degree, but we will look it up. Look it up. There's no pain in research. Well, there could be. Some of the stuff you research is very painful as you find the answers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it ain't all good. Yeah, it ain't all good. It ain't all good. Let's do this rapid fire, because this one is good. This one is good. I want to leave everybody a little lighter than they came. And I feel like the conversation, okay, cool. I feel like the conversation today was kind of heavy.
Nah, it wasn't heavy.
Well, it felt heavy to me. So
sad.
If it felt heavy to me, it might have felt heavy to somebody else. So I just want to lighten it up a little bit with a little rapid fire. Let's do it.
Black people.
United.
God.
Love.
community.
Community. Oof. That's a hard one for me. Wait a minute. You said the first one that comes to mind?
Yep, first word.
Unity.
Children.
Oh, love.
Peace.
My soul.
Amen. Okay, Javon, you're up next.
Okay. Dance.
Music.
House.
A home.
Church.
Fellowship.
Brother.
Strong.
Romance.
Needed.
Amen. Go right there.
Right there. Yep.
Hey, everybody, this is Kenny Bobian, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese. In order for them to judge it, I had to sing it again at the last minute. And so when I did, don't you remember you told me you loved me, baby? You said you'll be coming back this way again, baby. Baby, 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 oh, baby, I love you, I need you. And when I did that, it was bananas. They couldn't even go... They couldn't even go over it anymore. They was like, he won.
I love it.
I love that one. I love Kenny.
Yeah, that was sweet.
And I'm reading this chat.
Yeah, so I'm gonna put it up for those who. And we have to read it out loud. By the way, people are really, really listening to the podcast again across different platforms. And I want to give a special shout out to Taiwan, who over the past week or so has picked up its listenership. So shout out to Taiwan.
Shout out to Taiwanese.
Yes, Canada and France.
And France, the folks of France, united we stand. Like just we stand in solitude with you. We
exactly.
Stand in solidarity with you.
And so Ulysses Pop Carter writes, magistrate courts are a part of the United States District Court System. This means that they are special courts created by Congress, and they handle only certain types of criminal and civil suits. Judges are appointed by the president with the consent of the Senate. A judge typically spends 15 years in office. U.S. District Court Judge. There are currently 94 district courts. Each state has at least one district court, and larger states are required to have more. Each district court has more than one judge. Larger states in one district. Judges are appointed by the president under the advice of a judicial review panel. Court of Appeals Judge. These judges hear cases involving appeals. They are also appointed by the president and confirmed by the Senate. What happened here?
Not all judges are lawyers. Some don't even have law degrees or have had a law job, while the majority of judges at the federal level were previous attorneys.
I feel like I skipped a whole
section. Yeah, it was like go up one more. You skipped when he said, did you go to the largest employer of the judges in the Social Security Administration?
Nope.
Okay.
Did I say, okay, an administrative law judge oversees decisions concerning administrative hearings, usually concerning regulatory and benefits granting agencies. That's what. The largest employer of these judges is the Social Security Administration. They are appointed by following the Administrative Procedure Act of 1946. Which requires them to be an attorney, sit for a four-hour exam, take an oral exam, and be approved by a panel of legal peers. Not all judges are lawyers. Some don't even have law degrees or have had a law job, while the majority of judges at the federal level were previous attorneys. It would be possible for the president to select a non-attorney and for the Senate to approve them to become a judge. On the state level, there are more chances to become a judge without being a lawyer first. For example, in some states like Montana, a non-lawyer can become a justice of the peace. This person has the power to send some defendants to jail for up to 6 months in rural areas. Required for this position is approval from voters in the jurisdiction. I skipped the whole section again. It's just skipping around. Let's see.
No, you're right.
Did I get it?
Mm-hmm. That's a late quote. You went back.
Yes, I do remember my cousin Vinny. And cousin Vinny, it took him a long time to pass the bar, but he did it.
So are you saying this to say, Pop, that I need to run to be a judge somewhere where they're having problems getting hearing things in a way that makes sense to the people? Is that what you're saying? Just want to know, because I don't have a law degree. But look what we learned today.
Yeah, it's good. Learning is fundamental.
Yeah, you don't need a law degree or any previous law experience. I've had law experience.
That was a good one, Miss DJ. Good one.
Yeah.
Information submitted from the production booth of Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
A.K.A. Pop Star.
That explains all the Nimrods.
Okay. Wow.
That does.
So if you voted, so anywhere there's a magistrate where you can vote somebody in, they don't have to have a law degree or any law experience to be in the judge, because it's not an appointed position. It, with the exception of the Supreme Court, you can be voted in.
Yeah, so this is the thing. Supreme Court judge. When it comes to the judicial system, the Supreme Court is the final deciding body. The court is located in D.C., and it is comprised of 9 justices. I really don't think that you can appeal a Supreme Court decision. I think that...
You can.
I think that appeals go to the Supreme Court. Like, every lower court that makes a decision, if you want to appeal, you appeal it higher until you get to the Supreme Court.
There's a rule, though. There's a rule about that, go higher because and I learned that having done it. There's a rule. You cannot use the court system to do that. You have to appeal it first in the court that you are in.
Right. And then
you can't just keep going higher because you believe another court needs to hear it. They won't do it that way. There's a law for that.
Right. No, there is an appeals process, but after you appeal it in your own court, let's just say it's at the state level or whatever, you appeal it within the state, and then after that, you have to appeal it again to the Supreme Court or the appellate court
mm-hmm.
in your state. And then if it still doesn't get overturned, you take it to the Supreme Court. If the Supreme Court doesn't rule in your favor, and the Supreme Court doesn't have to listen, doesn't even have to consider your appeal.
I forget the name of the law, but because what people thought they could do is fight and take it to a higher court to make a decision over the last court. And that's not true. There's a, I forget what the name of the law is, but you just can't, it's not as easy to leapfrog as you think.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that's true. You have to go through, they call it the appeals process, right? We assume certain levels of intelligence because the areas where people are competitive are more visible. I get that. I agree 100%. U.S. District Court Judge, there are currently 94 district courts. Each state has at least one district court, and larger states are, yeah, we got that one. They're required to have more. That explains the prison is business. Absolutely. It's modern-day slavery.
Basically.
And
the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world.
Absolutely.
World.
And yeah.
Period. That's what I'm saying. France and so many other countries right now are taking a stand. They're saying enough is enough.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Enough is enough with this
shenanigans.
It's shenanigans, basically. It's just shenanigans. You know, the way we're trained to think, shenanigans, from our military all the way down. And quite frankly, there are other countries that do not have the bring them back alive mentality. They're willing to die for what they believe in. That ain't how our military goes. Exactly. Shout out to all of them, you know. And the idea that, and you know, and shout out to anybody who has served, you know. And you think about, like, the most famous quote about that particular subject, for me, came from Muhammad Ali, meaning, why am I going over to fight a war that you started because you're being over there doing something you ain't had no business doing?
Exactly.
And you don't sacrifice your kids first. You wanna draft and sacrifice others for the stuff that you started that you could have just kept your nose out of it.
Exactly.
Remember now, we're dealing with the same mentality.
Yep. I got the answer to my question as to whether or not you can appeal a decision by the U.S. Supreme Court. The Supreme Court rules allow 25 days after the opinion is released, during which either party may request a hearing from the Supreme Court on the decision. Rehearings are seldom granted without compelling reason. So you can, you know, go back to them within 25 days and have your, you know, appeal back to them. But you would be unlike appealing in a lower court where you get to go to now the appellate to someone else. You get another judge gets to hear your appeal. With the Supreme Court, it's the same judges, and you got 25 days to come up with something new to compel them, something different than what you already told them. So, but you can appeal. So I didn't realize that. And knowing me, I'd be like, shit, I'm talking to the same knuckleheads that y'all.
No, it's not that. It's this, that sometimes it's impossible, depending on how strong your researchers are for particular laws, to prove your point. Yeah. And there may be something else that they've discovered, you know, that would make a difference in the ruling, because you do have to do a ruling. So if they rule against whatever that was that you were presenting at that time, there could be something else that you did not have. Now, the idea is that when you are an attorney and a para and your team to make your argument, because all this is an argument. It's all it is. It's a legal argument with precedents and in some kinds, other cases, case law. That's it. Other cases that may have done or had similar situations occur.
Exactly.
And present it with, of course, your own facts.
Right, right.
You know. And sometimes people aren't, you'd be surprised, sometimes people aren't good at that as lawyers. because if you don't have that kind of experience in trial, you know, or you don't have a team that's going to pull out those nooks and crannies. And sometimes it's necessary for you to have a team of paras or a team of attorneys working with you for a variety of different walks of life and a variety of different ages, because you may need to recite case law that happened, you know, in the time when Javon was a kid.
Yeah, actually, most of the cases that go to the Supreme Court, they use precedent to argue their cases.
Well, that's the easy way to do it. Sure,
yeah,
it is.
But, you know, this Supreme Court that we have right now, and this is just Javon's opinion, my personal opinion, they're political hacks.
All of them. The whole... throw the baby and the bathwater, all of them out.
Especially the last two that were seated illegally.
Mm.
And that's not even allegedly. That is so contrary. The way they were seated is so contrary to how it's been done in this country. Not to say that it's always been right, because I think we can agree that we both believe that there should be term limits on Supreme Court justices.
On everything,
right.
Particularly justices.
Right. So, you know, I'm not saying that everything in this country is right. But if you going to keep doing, don't change it up just for you to do something illegal or do something different, and then nobody else can do it because you want to get your people in. What is the hell out of here with that?
Yeah.
You know? It's
mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's why, you know, that kind of stuff, it just annoys me. But, you know.
And in the name of Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas needs to go to blazes.
You know that's right. I couldn't agree with you more on that as well. I guess we are, out of time.
Yes, yes.
Time for me to organize this basement.
Oh, boy.
I know. I don't want to, but it's got to get done. I wanted to do it anyway, and I was just doing it so slow. I was just taking my sweet, I was just taking my time about it. So now I can get on it. So a little extra motivation. That's all.
So, thank you, Joe.
And whatever you do this weekend, Therese, enjoy yourself and everybody else within the sound of our voices.
Yes. Wash those hands. Practice self-care. Have a great weekend. Spread love all day. Peace, party people. See you later.
Hey, everybody. This is Kenny Bobian, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hi, this is Robin S., and you're listening to Javon and Therese in the Basement. Show them love!
I can't deal with y'all. Hey, this is Avery Sunshine, and I am in the basement with Javon and Therese. Shine.
What's up? It's your girl, Monifa, and you're tuned in to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, it's your girl, Allison Williams, and you're in the basement with Javon and Therese.
Hey, this is Lenny Williams, and you're listening to Brunch in the Basement with Javon and Therese, playing my kind of music.
Still in the basement, no longer alone, with my homegirl Therese and the microphone. Music politics are just chatting it up. Brunch in the basement, see, that's what's up. You never know who might run through. Legendary artists or someone brand new. You miss a lot when you miss one day. At least that's what I heard somebody say. But it doesn't really matter what whoever says. It's always a good show with Javon and Therese. Yeah. Brunch in the basement with Javon and Therese. Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody's a friend in my head. I already know everybody. One day I'll tell you about me and Shaka Khan, but you know.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but she doesn't know anything about it. But anyway.
No, she doesn't. She wasn't even there, actually. But anyway, but she did mention none other than Chaka Khan as one of her.
Why you gotta say, wait a minute. Why you gotta say Chaka? She did mention
none other than Chaka Khan.
I'm like, where does your voice go? What happened? What's happening? Even the mere mention of her name. Silence. Oh, gosh.
Would you believe I'm blushing?
Just yes. Hard. You're speechless blushing. That's the thing. Speechless blushing.
Rezzy, I can't help it.
It's a shocker. This is a shocker rehab, you know.
If there's a cure for this, want it? I don't want it.
Princess, though, Jay.
I'm gonna send y'all some perfume. I'll get an address. I'll send y'all out tomorrow.
You can send me some cologne, cause I mean,
cologne,
you know.
Yeah.
I just in case I should meet Chaka Khan, I want to smell really, you know, nice.
Oh God.
Okie dokie, babe. Whatever you say.
I want to wish everybody a happy Chaka Khanika. All right, thank you. Let's carry on. I'm sorry.
Siobhan, yeah, there's a pill you're going to be able to take. I promise not to tell them where you went, but they're coming for you.
With time, so.
And we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
well, thank you. This part, that little piece, I'm just going to keep and play it all the time for myself. But no, just do this.
And I think it's time, Therese, to do a little rapid fire with Mr.
Ooh.
Richard Pryor Jr.
I think so. So,
yeah.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you.